Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Oh, yes, it's very scary. Very, very scary out tonight.
But this episode's going to be spooktacular.
Oh, man. It's Halloween. I'm celebrating the fact that it's a full moon, and it's the last day of October, and I got some candy corn, and some Shiner Oktoberfest with me.
Ooh.
Ready to rock. So I'm going to be mixing a little bit of candy corn and beer tonight. And I'm going to need it, too. You know what happened to me last Halloween, Tim?
Ooh, what did happen to you last Halloween? I feel like I know this.
The next morning I found that a door was busted in.
Oh,
not a door, a window. I'm sorry.
And this was on a house, was it not?
It was my car. I parked in a dark place of my apartment complex, and it was just. Yeah, it's anniversary time, so I'm being a little more sensitive, a little more vigilant, a little more creeped out, actually.
Well, you know, it is All Hallows Eve, and
yes,
and things. Things go bump in the night, and people sit in dark rooms listening to Bauhaus.
That's right, filming amateur pornos.
Yes, at the Bauhaus, which is tricky.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, you have to at least admire the skill.
Yes. So. But we'll get to our little movie pick, craptacular, spooktacular movie pick of the epithets. But I gotta ask Tim, what has been your most interesting, like, Halloween in terms of, like, bus and, like, great stuff?
Oh, big Halloween. My God. Everything bad has happened on Halloween.
You got my story. I guess I have another depressing story if you want to hear it.
You know what? I do have a depressing Halloween story.
All right, let's kick it off right.
All right, so.
Good thing I got alcohol with me to console me.
So there was this. Yeah, you're right. And we're good. This was back when I was attending university. I was going to go on Halloween, and I was invited out on Halloween by a young lady who I worked with.
Uh-huh.
Thinking perhaps it was a date.
Oh,
but... there was a band called Star 80. Remember Star 80?
No.
They were basically, they're an 80s cover band.
And it makes complete sense now.
Does it not? And it's a clever name, is what I call that. But so they were playing at this little drinking establishment, and we were supposed to, it was Halloween, so we were in costumes. And I wouldn't want to do anything too elaborate, so I was wearing this lame, you know, those buy it at the grocery store prisoner costumes with the rubber shackles. Or just the white stripes. You have the little cap, and it looks like old timey prisoner.
Yeah,
I was wearing that, and I had the pants were over like my jeans or whatever pants I was wearing at the time, and I was kind of, you know. And I get to this bar, and there's a lot of people there in costume, and also in attendance at this event. This is when I worked at a travel company. There was this gal who worked there, who I thought I was meeting there for the Halloween, and her date, and a gay gentleman who I worked at my travel agency.
Wow.
And the gentleman, the gay gentleman, who I wouldn't say he was gay, he was, I suspected he might be gay. He wasn't very, it wasn't like an hour. It wouldn't be like, oh my God, that guy's gay.
So you woke up the next morning with his arms around you and you're like, yeah, he's probably gay.
And a little nibble on the ear. So we're there, and that's the four of us. So there's obviously there's some problems there for me.
I would say there's major problems.
So we were there for maybe, I don't know. They played a few songs, and Star 80 was a fairly competent 80s cover band. They actually, I mean, they think that could be their day job. I mean, they were pretty good. They weren't just some college.
Did they play Take Me Home Tonight?
No, but they played, you know, I don't know if they played Take Me Home Tonight. I didn't stay for the whole event.
Oh, sir.
But they did play, They play Major Tom.
Oh wow.
Which is pretty good.
That is pretty good.
They did it. They weren't bad. They were not the worst part of the evening. The worst part of the evening was that they were playing. Still baffled by the composure of the group I was with, was sitting there. The gal and her date, that wasn't me, left. Didn't leave. They were over dancing or doing something. I was left with this guy I work with. And we had a really awkward conversation as I was constantly trying to figure out, is this guy hitting on me?
And really, it was the old, like, do you like the taste of balls?
It wasn't quite, you know, that Frank, but...
oh, was that his name?
Frank. It wasn't quite Frank because it was Frank. We'll call him Frank. So Frank's talking, but I immediately, as another dude, I recognize the technique.
Oh, man.
It's dude small talk that you use with the ladies.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, he's trying to make me drop my guard.
Sir,
I do not operate in that manner. And the other manner, which is also involved in this. But,
wow.
So he... It wasn't anything suggestive or anything. He was making small talk, and it wasn't like when you you're stuck in an elevator with somebody or in line with some other dude, and you're just kind of making blah 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 weather blah blah blah. This was like date small talk, and I was like, ooh, this is not working for me. So I was like, we're there. I wasn't there very long. I don't know, maybe at the most I was there an hour for this thing. At the most, it may have been like 30 minutes. It felt like 4 or 5 hours. And at some point I excused myself and took leave of the establishment and was back at my home well before 11 o'clock.
So remind me of the costume again. You're dressed up as a prisoner.
I was dressed up as a prisoner.
So you were making a jailbreak.
I did. I made a jailbreak.
Yes.
If you want to think of another fine movie that's tied to where they use the line, we got to get fled. And I think the name of the movie was Fled.
Well, that makes sense. I was actually thinking of the Thin Lizzy song. That's where I was going.
Not quite that, but I just remember that. I don't think I've seen that movie. I think there's a Baldwin in it.
And oh, that's all you need to know.
There's two guys chained together, and they're trying to make a run for it. And some
boy, yeah, it's Lawrence Fishburne and Stephen Baldwin, I think.
Oh, boy. I'm still glad I haven't seen it, but there's a line where we got to get fled. And I was like, that doesn't even work. Not even as guy slang. Come on now. Let's try it. Let's try not to kill the language entirely, shall we?
What?
We
got
to get fled because it'll work as a tagline for a movie. Fled.
And fled.
And it wouldn't. And if it's two people fled, that's like, how about fleeing or flee? Or
running away.
Or escape.
Exactly. Oh, man. Well, damn. I thought I had a depressing story, but I guess you're in the lead there, sir.
That one just creeped right back out of the subconscious. I thank you for that.
Happy Halloween.
Trick or treat.
Now, my depressing story was that 2 years ago when I was renting a house. It just happens to be my significant other Kelly's favorite holiday, Halloween.
Ah.
Which actually is kind of depressing. We're not really celebrating it tonight, but, you know, it's an apartment. We're busy.
Yes.
We're old. We're adults. So
busy young professionals.
Yeah. So 2 years ago when we were in the house, woo, let's get ready for trick-or-treaters. So, you know, we upped the garage a little bit. We made this ginormous banner. We had, a bucket. We had, things hung in the window. Brought the stereo. I think we played some spooky music.
Mm.
I don't think we had a smoke machine. No, we didn't have that. But we did have a strobe light, I think, at the time. So we were all dressed up, and then we hung out outside. We, of course, had some alcoholic help with that.
Sure.
Because it was a little cold out. And we were all excited, and nobody really came. Maybe a couple of landscapers spawned, but that was about it.
We had
nobody. We had this big bucket of candy. I felt worse for Kelly because she wasn't as wasted as I was. So, but it was we got all this stuff together. We dressed up. I'm like, woo, Halloween. And
nothing.
Well, we lived in a cul-de-sac. And I think that might be the moral of that story. Is if you're into Halloween, don't live there at the end of a cul-de-sac. No one will come down your street.
The thing is, I think this, and maybe it's just a symptom of this younger crowd, but
these kids.
These kids, man. I used to, I'd log a good 2-3 miles on Halloween.
Oh, I'd always, like, I'd double check, I'd check off blocks and go all night, man.
No, I'd go as many houses as were possible on foot. And, you know, I never, some people would take, like, a ride to, like, the fancy neighborhood and go, like, hope to get, like, full-size candy bars and stuff.
Full-size candy bars.
But, you know, if you log enough houses in regular land where, like, working-class people live, you'll find somebody giving out a full-size bar.
That's right, you know, someone, you know, who doesn't want to be big time by the one percenters. You'll
also find a whole lot of old ladies giving out those yellow and black generic peanut butter taffy candies.
Those are my favorite. I love those.
You're the person who likes them. You and my dad.
Those are awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
I would go through my pile and pull all those pieces of crap out, and there'd be a big pile over there, and my dad would come over to get his taxes, as he liked to call it.
I'm going to use that, by the way, now.
I'm taking a Kit Kat, an Almond Joy. Oh, and you don't want those brown? Those are great. Womp. And you just take them. I'm like, you can have them all. I'm like, why don't you take all those and give me back my Kit Kat?
The only tax I could get behind, the candy tax.
Well, he's like, hey, I followed you around. Give me some of that.
You went and collected it. I protected your ass.
Or he would request. He'd be like, when you're going through my stuff, you're going through your stuff. If you find a Heath bar, that's mine. Mine.
That is so awesome. Oh, man. I went to different houses. I love the generic stuff. But what I hated is when the grand old folks would either give you a penny with a card on it or like a
prayer card.
Yeah, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, really? Whatever.
I pray that you give me better candy next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I know which house I'm skipping next time.
No kidding. So we had leftover candy, and now we moved into the apartment, and now we don't do anything.
Yeah.
But I'm vigilant tonight because of the kids out there. They don't go trick-or-treating. They bust in windows of my car.
That's what they do. They either have, they either have crappy little parties where everything's, like, safe and you walk around in a circle and collect some candy that you've seen 100,000 times, or we go break guys' windows out of their car.
Well, speaking of crappy little parties where people walk around in circles.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
We got the movie this week, of course.
Hey, here, here's a little hint. Let me just give you this little hint. Here, it's kind of a stretch, but it should work.
Yeah! Booyaka, booyaka!
It's not a direct tie, but it's close enough.
Genetics.
Yeah, there's genetics there, but I mean...
No, actually, in two ways, in more ways than one, two in the genetics.
There's a couple things there, so...
So we are, of course, talking about WrestleManiac.
Not to be confused with WrestleMania.
Although I think the Latino name is El Mascarado Massacre or something.
El Mascarado Massacre. Is the alternate title for this film.
So it's WrestleManiac, and no, it's not. Well, it does have some professional wrestling tie-ins, which we here love at the Gonza Guys. But also, it has a horror movie, which we haven't seen one in the rotation for a bit. I think was The Gate, right?
Yeah, and I guess that was a horror movie, but this we don't want to overdo it with the horror. We like to have variety. But this is a Halloween.
Yes, man.
Yes, we need variety.
Yeah, have a little sweet sauce and then a little sour.
How else are you supposed to work in jokes about taco shacks and chicken?
Yes, exactly.
Down
the street, down. Get out of here. All right.
Doctor Troy, you go. Get bad, doctor.
Go to your hole.
All right. You want your legs and chicken?
Maybe. Give me 5 minutes.
But it's All Hallows Eve, so you got to go. Horror movie, and you can't go over the treaded ground of Friday the 13th, anyway, no, yada, 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 yada.
So we wanted to go somewhere where it introduced a new type of horror character that mixed something in that we love, and that's WrestleManiac. Stars Rey Mysterio, not Junior, but Senior. That's right, long lineage of Lucha Libres. Rey, the Mysterio clan is one of the well-known stalwarts of that style of wrestling. And for those who are uninitiated, Lucha Libre, Mexican wrestling. A lot more mask-friendly, and that actually plays a big part into this movie. Rey Mysterio plays the monster in the movie.
Yes, he does. I don't know if that monster is the correct term. He's a Lucha Libre man with the uncanny ability to tear people's faces off with his bare hand. In perfect form, too.
Yes.
There's no roughness about it. And I'll touch on this again later, but I do the title, WrestleManiac, it triggered up a memory of a certain person named Zach. Mm. But Zach was a different kind of maniac. He was a lady.
Oh, I gotcha.
Every time I think I'm thinking, da-da-da, WrestleManiac.
You know, that theme music with him ripping faces off? That'd be really nice.
Or the Animaniacs with a really dark turn to it.
Yikes.
Ew, boy.
I hated that show, by the way.
I think there was some Lucha stuff mixed in. There were Lucha jokes in Animaniacs.
They did everything.
They did a little bit of everything in that show. So you got Zach the Lego Maniac, you got Animaniacs, and now you got WrestleManiac. And he's
a monster.
He is the monster in this film.
It was made in 2006.
Fine year.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't really dip back into history too much, because there's plenty of horror movies to go around, but I haven't seen a horror movie mixed with Mexican wrestling yet, so it was a fine, fine pick. So what's the story? It's a standard horror story, right, Tim?
It is the standard horror story of a group of people who you may or may not care about at some point. In many cases, you don't.
Or shouldn't
at all. They are on a journey, car troubles, and a remote area, and people go off looking around by themselves. You know. In this case, this crew that we're supposed to be sympathetic for is a porno crew.
Amateur porno.
Excuse me, amateur, dirty, sleazy, dirty, dirty porno.
So when you get in the movie, I think what really happened is a guy who was like the leader was pretty much just had a lot of blow and pot, and he's like, "I'll just give you all drugs if you drive with me, and we'll shoot some porn, and you'll be too hopped up to really care."
And amongst his group, you have a stoner whose band it is. You have the sleazy porn director. You have the
slash actor too.
Slash actor, performer, the fat guy cameraman.
Sympathetic fat guy cameraman.
I'm trying to think. Was he the only, there's two sympathetic characters, maybe? Maybe two?
Okay. Let's run down the line.
You got fat guy cameraman. I do not remember all the names because I know one of them is named Dallas. But you have the fat guy cameraman. Oh, yeah, the stoner guy, you guess you could feel sorry for. He really wasn't in any trouble. And you have a drugged out, drunk porn actress passed out in the back of the van. You have a more accomplished actress, performer, who's kind of snippy. And then you have, what is that?
WWE's latest reject.
Layla Alani, I think, or something is her name. And she was in
Tough Enough.
That is correct. And she was... Oh, she had a little run on the big TV for a bit.
Yep.
Not very good, if I remember.
Very good in this movie, either.
She is not alone in that, to be fair.
So, they're driving to Mexico trying to find a place to shoot a porno, and they have all these drugs, and they're just having a grand old time. They stop off at a gas station because they have to pee. Not like you could just, like, pull over the side of the road and pop a squat or anything.
No.
But you're running into this creepy dude. Your stereotypical, yeah, that round down the street. Yeah. So he's talking about, oh, yeah, you can go 100 miles this way, or you can go 50 miles this way. But they say it's haunted, they say.
Oh, they say it is that haunted. Yeah.
And in fact, I picks it up because the fat guy is like a Lucha Libre fan, and he knows of like some of the history and stuff like that. And he hears of the legend of this like small town in Mexico or something. So he's like, whoa. So the guy, Cokehead leader guy, was like, woo, let's go there because I'm crazy. So
they go into abandoned town. They cut the chain on the town, and the whole gate collapses.
Comedy.
It could actually probably be something more like...
Oh, man, you dusted that off. It's been...
It was dusty. It took a shine that up. It took a little bit too much.
So...
I'm not proud of it, but I am. Hey.
Sometimes that's just pride fucking with you. So they stroll in this town. They're like, "Woo, we found a place. Let's make love and have a consensual sex that's being recorded
and paid for." So it's not prostitution if you're filming it.
So the one sex scene in the movie, which if I was Joe Bob Briggs, I'd be saying, "I give this movie 3 boobs."
Let's see. Well.
Yeah, because the blonde
Took
her top off,
and then the
drunk lady only showed one of her boobs, and of course the Tough Enough TV star didn't show anything. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's an expectation of it. I'm just saying if I was Joe Bob Briggs, I'd give this movie about 3 boobs.
And that was the one limited scene where you feel you're watching a movie and they set the characters up as amateur porn crew. They really ran away from that pretty quick.
Yeah, drunk lady runs off because she has to puke because she's drunk. And, you know, the next smart move is that instead of walking back to the production or wherever the rest of the guys are, she wanders off in a field that looks like to be about a mile outside of town. And she also kind of runs, she like walks into this pile of glass that's blaringly like staring right at her. And then she dies.
Walk right into that crap.
Yeah, she walks into that, and then she dies. Some mysterious figure comes up and kills her.
And all you see is a hand.
Yeah, I was a little worried at that point in the movie that that's what we're all going to see.
It's just a hand.
I kind of cheated a little bit in researching, because to get behind the blue curtain here, I actually researched and found this movie. And I was reading some of the reviews, and they're like, not so much. And I was a little worried. I was a little worried that the whole movie would be like what the first 2, maybe 3 killings were.
There was a lot of like self-mounted camera with hands sticking out in front of it.
Yeah, I mean, I get what they were trying to do by building up the suspense of this immense beast, but it was still kind of lame that it was just like, you pick them up, you throw them down, they're dead. So she's dead. And then shit happens. They start... Fat guy who's like, this is why I think fat guy is sympathetic, is that he starts figuring this stuff out, and he's knowledgeable about the stuff, and he also seems like he's not like a dick to people. He's like genuinely interested in helping people out or whatever.
Well, and he has an amazing ability to pull together all these facts about Lucha Libre wrestling.
Well, he's a fat guy, so let's...
Well, of course he's into it, and he keeps a Lucha mask in his pocket for just such an occasion.
Yeah, setting up an amazing confrontation.
Some of us might know about Lucha Masks.
yes.
And so...
That will be coming up after the recording.
You know, and it should also be noted, just as a bit of foreshadowing, if you're watching this, at some point, they go out of their way to make sure that you know that Dallas, who is the Layana Ali, whatever her name is from WWE, they make sure to tell you that she's a contortionist.
Yes.
There is a line, it goes by pretty quick, but the line doesn't fit where it is in the dialogue, and it's like, well, why do we need to know that? And it's like, are you just making a euphemism because she's a porn star, or do we need to know that? It really felt like, okay, I need to know that, which means, okay, she's going to contort somewhere in this movie.
Yeah, I think that contortion might have just ended up being a ginormous crotch shot.
I was going to say, I mean, at one point she's hiding under a sink. And granted, it looks a bit snug, but it doesn't look like it would require you to have some second ability, you know, some gift.
Yeah, it was a little, it was way suggestive. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
So Pothead Guy goes off, and then he drops his weed, he picks it up, and then, like, he gets his next snap. And then I think that's when things start turning, if I remember correctly. Because they figure out some shadow is watching them, and they're not alone. They begin to piece together. And here's the story, right? What was the legend of this guy?
He was a wrestler, and he took one of his opponents and blinded him. I think he gouged his eyes out with his thumbs. Does that sound right? I think that's what he did.
And he might have, like, popped the neck like this.
Something along those lines. I think he blinded a guy, was warned, and then he started killing people in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then they forever banished him to this town. And that was the legend. It's like that years ago they sent him away, and he was so enraged that he couldn't keep competing.
Here's some more. We're just gonna give away the.
What are we looking for? The secret of the luchador?
Yeah.
Basically, the guys in this town and friendly fat guy figures out that he finds some reel to reel at one point and talks about how the guy's psychotic, but that he still follows the rules of lucha libre. But the killing people seems like that would be outside the rules. But aside, those rules being if you lose and are unmasked, you have to retire. And so the fat guy's trying to tell anybody to listen, hey, we got to get his mask off. And he'll go away, which I don't know about that. They didn't really get around to that. But needless to say, they never get his damn mask off. But so that's his conclusion. It's like, all right, we're going to take him on and we're going to get his mask off. And nobody really seemed to pay attention to that. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, Fat Guy was the guy that was all knowledgeable about it, right?
Fat Guy was knowledgeable, but he had he knew his lucha stars, and he had heard of this guy, but he feared he was probably long since dead, which I guess kind of makes him a bit more of a monster, because it's supposed to have been 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, and that's the thing I wanted to say, too. The Mexican president, right? The Mexican president at the time.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he wanted he was a fan of Lucha Libre, and he had this thing where it was like, I want the best.
He wants the best of the best. And so you got the Mexican president getting involved, and that was such a turn.
Well, and then the fat guy comes up where it's like all these great Lucha Libre wrestlers like just disappeared out of the blue, and then like they find out that that this monster guy was made up of pieces of all those wrestlers. And he was like a Frankenstein, like Lucha Libre guy. And
So he's got this, and at one point you see that he's got this secret little wrestling thing kind of built into this one building. What he's doing, he's going in there and he's having these private little matches, and then he takes their faces and he decorates his home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. And so you got having his matches, he's putting up faces. Wrestlers have disappeared. Like people had probably had, he had that he had grudges with, the big stars had disappeared for a while, and so you know, they found out that, you know, you had this guy's hanging back in his little secret town, so they just wall that baby up.
Yeah. So he just left roaming that little town.
Which was secured with a chain and like a little lock that a porno crew could break. And then the door falls off. So apparently the killer's not so... Apparently locks are his you know, Achilles heel. You can't get past those chains and a piece of wood.
Yeah. So,
what is he doing in there? He's just hanging out for years. Everything kind of goes quiet with him. Until, of course, this crew shows up.
Yeah.
And, there's a phone call.
There is. We're talking Lucha Libre, and I think some Spidey senses got tingled.
I think something triggered. We'll have to see. May not. This is a first in Godzilla's history. We're going to see what happens here. Let's see.
Please leave your message 7 8 5 9 7 9 3.
No!
Bun fluffing, what happened? Holy bun fluffing, Batman.
How was it? That was kind of creepy, actually.
That was unreal. A phone call just started up all of a sudden.
And we started talking Lucha Libre and something's happening. I'm a little scared now that I knew we shouldn't have done this on Halloween.
It can get weird on Halloween sometimes.
Yes.
But, man, goodness. I tell you what, I'm getting a feel for the room here. I'm going to make sure nothing this goes on here.
Oh, well, it's a good thing I opened another beer.
Yeah, that's always that's a good solution. You know, whether you're being stalked by El Mascarado or you're having weird ghost phone calls, you know.
Just got derailed. Freaking
yeah, that's all right. We, you know, Halloween bun fluffing is what I call that. So,
he's just this monster, right? And he's Rey Mysterio. He's got his own mask, and he starts picking off people. And who was next after him? Was it the fat guy that was next?
Let's see. Okay, so you got. Let me just go.
It had to have been because then Blonde was like still around in there. Cokehead went next.
Cokehead, because as I say, you had to kill Cokehead, then you kill Blonde, then you kill, you killed Drunk Girl, you killed Stoner, you killed Cokehead, you killed Blonde 1, leaving Blonde 2, and Fat Guy.
Yeah. Well, and, and I guess the only thing that was really interesting is that they showed the face mask peeling off.
Yes, that was the one gruesome aspect. And it wasn't that gruesome, but...
Yeah, and the fat guy felt inspired because he knew that was the only way, listening to all these tapes and stuff and doing his research, that if you pull off his mask, he will, like, quit and retire.
Unless he horse knocks you down and rips your face up first.
Sure, so...
and you'll have to give him this. El Mascarado does a very neat job with a bare hand face ripoff.
it's the best I've seen around these parts, that's for sure.
I mean, it is tough to evenly remove someone's face with your bare hand, you know, consistently. You know, not everybody gets lucky. So... bits. Anyway, you know, so he's ripping off faces. Fat guy kind of lives for a little bit after he gets tagged. He tries to wrestle him too, which was kind of a mistake.
It was kind of just was really ridiculous. And I know, suspending disbelief, but you know, you see this ginormous guy, and you're sudden, you're so inspired that you're gonna feel like a glob of yourself can take on, you know, a muscled up Lucha Libre type guy.
Well, you know, if it was actually Lucha Libre and it was staged, then that's one thing. But you realize at this point he's in a room with human faces stuck to the wall. It's not a work.
And barrels as ring posts, which, by the way, it was a nice touch having the WrestleMania jump off the top barrel.
Well, he still has to hit his high spots. That was part of it. So he is living by the Lucha code minus... he is ripping off masks, I guess, which is Lucha. It just happens to be people's faces.
Yes. So basically, he just chases down everybody.
Well, you know, he did the smart move. The fact I did put on a mask over top of his face, so the first thing the guy did was take his you know, fabric mask off, which I thought might save him, but it didn't. And so he's in the little wrestling ring. He gets his mask ripped off. He gets his face ripped off. That leaves blonde girl running around town. And she's in there with him, if I remember right. And he's like, you got to get his mask off. And so she spikes him on a pole. No, wait, get back. She runs around from him for a while. Ew.
Yeah.
And so she runs around from him.
Huh? What? What's this?
Hello.
It's Halloween.
Oh my gosh. The call just all of a sudden showed up.
Yeah, it's very mysterious. The whole time I kept thinking, I hope that I can somehow get the time in to do this, because there's no way that I watch Lucha Murder. For no reason. No, actually, no, it wasn't that bad.
I got some kicks out of it. We were actually just discussing the fact that we call the one character Friendly Fat Guy, and that the Friendly Fat Guy decided he was going to wrestle our killer, and for whatever reason, he seemed to disregard the fact there were human faces stuck to the wall. I'm not sure if he thought it was going to be a worked match or what, but he's like, well, I put my Lucha mask on. I should be good to go.
I don't know. I think he was just fired up and wasn't really thinking, or I mean, maybe he had the eye of the tigre. I don't know what that exactly was.
He did dress up as the tigre.
He had the eye of the tigre until his face got ripped off.
But you know what I kept hoping that was going to happen was, because it was all dark and gloomy and there were the different passages, I was hoping that at some point, like, the girl or even that, the big boy, when they came, they were going to end up in, like, an abandoned ring, and, like, the lights were going to come on, and it was, like, an old, like, Lucha Stadium. I was a little disappointed that it was just barrels with some cruddy rope around
in somebody's living room.
Yeah, it's just like, I just about said it's like most living rooms.
except minus the faces.
Well, it depends. Velvet faces, maybe. Ooh, that's, you know.
Have
you guys been talking about the movie? Like, I mean, what? I mean,
Halloween conversation prior to the film discussion, so.
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm not on my computer. I'm actually sitting in my car right now.
You're on location.
Yeah, I see.
Direct from your car.
I had to go. First of all, it took me 2 hours to get home.
Yikes.
Because traffic was a mess. And then there was a candy emergency, and I was sent. I found the secret to candy, though, where to buy your candy from.
Dollar General.
Dollar store. Yeah. I feel like a schmuck, because all these years I've probably dropped, you know, at least $20 to $30.
You've been paying retail for your candy, sucker.
Been what?
You've been paying retail.
Yeah. Well, they had like name brand stuff. I mean, it wasn't all like, instead of dots, it wasn't called like bits, and you know, and like,
did it have the
50 rolls weren't called 50 rolls.
Did it have the brown wrapper candy that was just like a blob of peanut butter and chocolate taffy stuff?
You know what? This is so funny. I was going through the candy, and I was trying to like pick out like a variety, and I was like, ooh, is that the chocolates? And it was those ones you speak of with the waxy thing, and I just said out loud, oh, no one eats this. I mean, I mean, I really did say it out loud. So it's funny. It's like the circle of life. But yeah, there was a candy emergency. And then of course I come back, and then there's no more kids. So I just bought like another $10 worth of Dollar General candy for, you know, and you know where that's all going to end up.
In your car with you right now?
No, in the dog, probably. Our dog one time ate a whole bag of candy. And I was like, doesn't chocolate kill dogs? But actually all it does is it makes them poop out crackle wrappers for about a week. It makes It makes it white, kind of like in Step Brothers, the poo-poo in Step Brothers.
But the candy that you have said that no one eats, apparently someone does eat it.
And that would be me, sir. I eat the hell.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to go out and run some. Oh, hey, Tim, guess what just passed me? I'm sitting here parked. A Schwann's truck.
Oh.
I'm already scared. It's a full moon tonight. It's
called there's Schwann's trucks. There's WrestleMania around.
8:26. Yeah, oh, man. That's 8:26 my time. So it's really late. So how come you guys, do you guys have any trick-or-treaters?
No, hell no. I'm in an apartment. I told a story earlier of when we were when Kelly and I rented a house for a year that we got all dolled up and we dolled up the house. And we lived in a cul-de-sac and nobody came except for some landscaper spawn. And that was about it.
And we didn't have very many here this year. I actually take it back. We bought about the right amount of candy, but we still had quite a bit left. But my neighborhood's a little sketchy.
I think the trend with just trick-or-treating in general is that kids, they go to hospitals or malls and stuff like that now. I think that seems to be more the trend, where they don't really hit the pavements like we did when we were young. You know, they...
Dangerous. Where's the danger?
But you know what? I heard, I don't know why I heard this, but you know how they always talk about razor blades and apples and all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That supposedly that is like a humongous old wives' tale. That there was only one person that ever really tampered, like a proven case of someone who tampered with candy. That's just kind of, but which, that to me kind of feels like it falls in the category of snuff films. Where they say snuff films are a rumor. They don't. They're a legend. They don't really exist. It's false. I'm like, someone sick enough somewhere who's probably tampered with candy, don't you think?
Well, I guarantee you, there's somebody out there who's tampered with kids' candy somewhere in the history of this people trick or treating.
Well, and so then let's talk about the flip side. What if someone tampered with the candy and like dropped a little bit of ecstasy in there or something? You know, maybe they gave them a good time. You know what I'm talking about?
But I'd go to that house twice.
Yes.
People could have been dropping X-Lax. Like people, kids get sick when they eat a lot of candy, so maybe people were just dropping in like X-Lax and you know.
Yeah.
Or
well,
just little
you know what?
Hydrogen peroxide.
What's always funny too about and I'm not. I mean, I've been around it. But it's funny because people always talk about, oh, they put it in my drink or someone put it in their food. If you ever see like a documentary or something like on a real drug addict, they will not share that. What do you get the kicks out of randomly giving away something you paid for and then you must sold and robbed somebody and done a lot of bad things to get that money? I think that's part of life. I'm like, I see it more like if people tamper with candy, it'd be like X-Lax and you know. Like that.
The only candy tampering I have been witness to was that when I got back, I was in charge of putting my candy out so that my dad could take requisite candy tax, as he liked to call it, and he would cherry pick a few items, and then I was allowed to take my candy and move on. And he wasn't going to be tampered with; it was going to be eaten by him.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you know what? The best thing that they used to have, like in the 70s and 80s, and after the whole candy scare came around, they wouldn't let people have anymore. Was the popcorn balls. I used to love you get, like, homemade popcorn balls.
Oh, I got those. I still got those.
A few times.
Did you?
Yeah.
After a while, that just stopped.
Well, sometimes, at one point, I think somebody said, oh, he shouldn't eat that because those are the things that they poison, and my dad ate it. So.
Your dad took one for the team. He's like, I got this, son.
Like,
tell your mother,
like,
I love her.
I was like, oh, I don't know about that. I was also a sensitive kid. I was probably like, oh, I don't want to eat that. And he's like, give it to me. I'll eat it.
Is that one of them X-Lax stuff ones? Because boy, I'm stopped up.
It's funny.
It's like Tim as a child, like his dad was already more adventurous than he was. Tim was like the adult messenger. Like dad, I'm a little concerned about this candy. Your dad's like, give that to me, you wiener.
Dad, and while you're in there, if you find a Heath bar, give that to me too.
So you know what? What
it's like they gave us loaded guns for Halloween when I was a kid. What?
You what now?
My dad be like, he grew up. They're a lot more less supervised. You know, as you go further back, it's like I kind of wait for like the kids. Like, well, we used to go around with loaded guns on Halloween and shoot each other. It was fun.
My grandpa, I think I even told the story on a podcast. My grandpa Orville and his friends were a bunch of hooligans when they were kids. And they used to, every year there was this tradition where they would push this old man's outhouse just a little bit farther, so when he would go to open in the step,
oh, yeah,
he'd fall into the poop. And then finally one year the old man got tricky and rigged it where when they went to push it, they all fell in.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I've never been one for, like, scaring people and being mean. It's stealing kids. It's just mean, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I have to say that I feel bad. I've got to tell you guys, I've listened to the last two.
While you were on assignment in South America with that turned out not to be a scam.
A sabbatical. And let me tell you, like, Brewster's Million was totally false. You can go through money like crazy. But I have to say that I feel like I told Tim this the other day when I was calling in from a parts unknown.
How's the Undertaker doing?
Yeah, right. But I was between the Undertaker and the Missing Link of pro wrestling. We were on the beach, and I decided to call Tim. But it was funny because like the two shows have been like really tight. Like as far as you guys have like stayed on, and I'm like, I think I'm the one who ruined the show with my rant because you guys are like, you know, this is good at this movie. This is, and then it's like when I take it, it's like I'm like, boy, I guess I'm the ruiner. I'm
I don't know. You've yet to fart in the microphone yet, so.
Yeah. I'm pretty hungry right now, so I don't think I that would. I'm kind of a big pit of emptiness right now. I gotta tell you too. Like you guys will appreciate this. I don't know if I even told you this, Tim, but when I listened to the Dr. Detroit episode, I was camping, and I got thrown out of the tent because I was snoring, and so I went and slept in the car, and I couldn't sleep, so I put on the headphones, and I listened to the episode at like 3:30 in the morning in the backseat of a Prius in a campground. It was like, it was so surreal, but I did download Dr. Detroit because I do want to rewatch it, but I told Tim that movie is a part of Barry family history because, look out, on HBO, on Saturdays they used to always show the new movie and throughout the day they kept hyping it up. And then, so Dr. Detroit was going to be the Saturday night movie and my dad was like, oh, I like Dan Aykroyd, this will be fun, you know, he goes, oh, it's like a PG. And we watched it and it made him so violent. And I don't think I've ever seen the whole movie because I remember he walked out disgusted in the middle of it.
And you're out. And you walk out of a movie in your house.
You know what? I'm having trouble. It's kind of like over-modulated or something. Like you guys in your lap, it's like, whoop, whoop.
Oh. No, it's saying that your dad walked out of a movie in your house.
In your own.
Yeah, he did that a lot, though. He would get disgusted. He told me he walked out of the movie with my mom when they won free tickets to go see the movie with Elvis, that Kurt Russell played Elvis.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, this movie's awful. Oh, my God. And I'm one of those people, even if they're free tickets, I will sit, you know, hence the Love Guru story. That I left the Love Guru and then later, like, snuck back a few days later and bought a ticket
to
finish watching it. But then I did sneak in Iron Man again, so that's okay.
See, now we miss those kind of stories, though.
Yeah, those rambling stories. But not to Detroit, though, I just remember being really confused, like when I was a kid and watching it going, so why is his voice this way? And why does he have a metal hook? And I remember the junkyard scene, and I remember Ma, and it's just, and it's funny, too, because you mentioned Fran Drescher and how stunning she was. And I was telling Tim, if you want to see Fran Drescher, I think even younger than that, there's that movie Hollywood Nights, which is really funny. And she's in that, and she I still think she's pretty. I was telling Tim that I sounds very weird to say, but I like Fran Drescher.
I think the accent was accentuated to have a TV show.
Yeah.
she's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, you know, but I can't blame her for hamming up the accent, because if someone came to me and said, we're going to give you a sitcom and we need you to have an Oklahoma drawl, I mean, I'd be drawing it up, you know.
Barbecue sauce, oh my God!
Yeah, I'd become JR.
Man! And then half your face would stop working.
Oh, and I didn't hear that. I'm so sorry. That was probably really funny.
He said, no, whatever, you know what?
You know, I said half your face would stop working.
Oh. Oh.
Ouch.
You know what's so weird is when I didn't realize, like, my aunt had all the and I remember she was always like laughing about it, and she told me that she's like, well, but it goes away, so that's why I can laugh about it, which I didn't realize that. I was thought, oh my God, you know, I felt so bad that she was, you know, that. I guess, you know, anyway, so I'm sorry, it's morbid. I guess it is Halloween. So.
It is Halloween. But I didn't know that kind of stuff can, like, go away. I always thought it was just kind of, it was like a slap on the back and it stays there for a little while and that's about it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to tell you. There's a language version of that, which you guys have to be careful, because if one of you flubs your buns when you're doing the Dr. Detroit voice, it'll stick. That's actually a legendary fact. So no, that voice is scary though, man. It's just.
I watched it. Yeah, I watched the hell of it as a kid, and it just never like went away. And
did you have it on VHS? Did you like buy the video, or did you just tape it off of TV?
I think it was part TV later, but earlier it was in the rotation of the free month trials of HBO that we get every year and then cancel when they start wanting money.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I remember. Oh, how long was the free trial? Was it in 3 day? Like it started like on a Friday?
Well, no, it's like my dad would say, oh, it's a great deal, I'm going to get it. And then once they started charging more money, I'm going to cancel it. And that happened about maybe once or twice every year, pretty much. So he basically just signed up for the deal and then cancel it after it like, gets to be regular price.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when they used to show, like, the 3 day preview when they would show it? And then, like, Monday morning, you would just turn it on and it would still be on. And you would be like, as a kid, I would be like, maybe they forgot. Maybe we have it now forever. I was so excited.
Well, I remember sitting there waiting for it to shut off, thinking, okay, how long is it? How much might, maybe I can watch the end of this movie. But sometimes, they would, like, if it was a holiday, sometimes they run it like Thursday through Sunday, like a 4th of July.
Yeah.
Review or something, and then you just watch the hell out of it.
And then when you would get cable boxes, like, and I know this because I worked in the cable business. I'm not saying the industry.
In the biz.
But the box when you would get it home and plug it in, it would have all of the channels. And then once the cycle would go through, it would, you know, specialize it to like what you buy. But there was that little kid feeling again. It's like, ooh, maybe they messed up and gave me one. It's got everything.
I did that when I got a cable box last couple of years ago, and I had all the pay channels, and there were two or three movies on. I wanted the DVR function was working, so I taped a whole bunch of movies. They killed my, you know, my signals to be appropriate with what I was paying, which wasn't for much. Yet, if you record it off the DVR, it's good to go.
Nice.
Wow.
It doesn't erase it off your DVR or block it when you go back to play it, so you're good.
It's there for good.
See how
off task I've already got us in like 7 minutes? I got us to cable boxes.
Well, no, because
I don't know
that,
if it's a gift or a curse.
Because that pay-per-view might include the kind of amateur porn that they were trying to film in the movie.
Yes.
Okay. So I gotta say. Okay. So I wrote some notes because I don't understand what was bothering me, because I didn't find it a horrible movie. Like, is it called Lucha Murder or Lucha Mania?
It's WrestleManiac.
WrestleMania.
Because I think it had a couple titles. Because I saw it on IMDb.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's why I was like, it was like El Mascardo Massacre or whatever.
Massacre.
But I'm trying to like, you know, be positive about stuff, but I have to say that what was bothering me about it was like, would I have enjoyed the movie more if I didn't find the cowboy guy like the most despicable character I've seen in a long time in a film. I mean, I absolutely hated that guy.
No, he was a dickhead. Like, extraordinaire.
He was a giant douche. If anything, he played a pretty good heel.
Yeah, but it was almost like it was too.
Are you saying that he got X-Pac heat?
Well, he's like a Jason Harvey meets X-Pac heat. It's like Jason Harvey to me is the ultimate heel in the universe. Because like the Wonder Years, the character Wayne is the best heel, like ever. But that guy, and this is what I was wondering too, because like whoever like wrote the dialogue and stuff, like this sounds so weird, but the line when he said, nobody remembers Taxi Driver. No one gives a crap about Taxi Driver. And he said, but deep down, everyone remembers. And I just imagine some guy writing this thinking, that's a great line. And it's really not, because it's not true. I mean, Taxi Driver is still, like, the first time I ever watched Taxi Driver, I was just stunned. I was like, oh, my God, that was amazing. You know, and it's just, I mean, that's just a stupid line. It's just like, no, it's not. It's not true.
Yeah, well, it was written, directed, and edited by the same guy, if that makes you feel better.
And he was.
But I will give him, I'll give him credit for keeping it to 1 hour and 15 minutes. I thought that was smart on his part, you know.
Well, I mean, what it looked like is that they didn't have the budget to really do some gruesome murders. So that kind of cut the time down. Because, like, the first couple of kills, it was just the arm. So I was like, there's this giant floating arm killing people, and that's it.
Well, you know what kind of threw me for a loop when I was watching it, and I was kind of like, the young people in the van in the middle of nowhere. And then the girl that was passed out, for just this weird split second, my mind went to, like, oh my God, are these people killers? And is that woman dead? You know, I thought, like, is that, and then it's like, I mean, and maybe this is arrogance on my part, but part of me was going, you know how, like, we've kind of, like, rewrote Neo-Maniacs and put some backstory? And I'm like, how much crazier would that story have been if that's really what it was? There was, like, these weird, you know, people in their mid to late 20s, and they're just kind of roving things.
Interjecting quality storytelling into this film.
That's like the nicest thing anyone said to me all week. Quality storytelling.
Well, I mean, it would totally justify, spoiler alert, killing everybody in the movie, because everybody gets bit. It would make sense, right? Because then it's like they're dead, and you kind of feel a little bit of satisfaction with them dying. Versus,
yeah, well, when that guy, when the Lucha guy was beating up the horrible cowboy guy, I was really like, okay, I'm into this. Is all right. Go ahead, do your thing. But hey, Tim, and Hokie, have you ever seen Mad Men? It's one of the movies that Tim hit me to.
It's so good.
But it's a good bad movie. But Tim, did you get excited when the Taylor Dane looking girl started trying to fix the van, and she put her earphones in and she lifted up the hood and started working? Did you think there was going to be a Mad Men thing?
I thought perhaps they were going to do that. That was, you know, the Taylor Dane girl was in WWE for a while.
Who is that? She looked really familiar.
That's Layla Milani.
Wait a minute. Is that the Layla that they found from the Tough Enough?
Yes.
That was?
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, she's really pretty.
And stuck her head underneath the hood.
Did you tell Okie that the...
In Mad Men, there's these people, it's kind of a ripoff of Friday the 13th. There's a camp, there's kids at it, there's counselors. There's this crazy farmer monster guy. And the truck stalls... And this lady's like, oh, I better get in there and tinker with the engine and try to make it work. And so she's out there and she's got her head underneath the hood. In the meantime, the monster crawls in the back of the pickup truck, gets on top of the roof, and then jumps off and closes the hood on her head.
Of course.
And knocks your head off. And she didn't hear him climbing into the truck or on top of it. He's a huge, kind of heavy monster. And so,
yeah, this is not a sprite by any means that did this. not the drink.
Comes right off. And so when the gal was working on the van in this movie, I did actually kind of think about that, but it wouldn't have been a point of reference for you. I'll have to send you Madman. I'll find it.
Yeah. Oh, I Madman, and Madman was great too, because her friend, the lady that smashed in the car, he looked like John Oates without a mustache, which was awesome.
That's just
cool. Yeah, John Oates without a mustache is.
Now, like, the other question about the van fixing scene while we're at it. So she's in there too, yeah. The van. First of all, he ran over a giant rock, and she's
broke the undercarriage.
She was nowhere near where the damage to that car would be.
That's true.
Yeah, because, and it was one of those vans too, because like where the engine was, it was up really high. It was like a 40. Boy, do I sound like a touring nerd now. It's like, oh, the Ford Econoline 5150, and that's actually. but yeah, I mean, you're right, because it would have, that rock would have just like, it would have broken like
built pan or something. It wouldn't have. You know, it wouldn't have anything to do with, like, maybe, and another thing is, like, she wasn't changing a belt or anything. She hooked, like, when they opened it, there was a hose unhooked, and she, like, immediately, like, rehooked it up, and, like, really?
Yeah.
She worked that was, it that for was... several hours, so I guess she fixed it, but.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, but, so Hokey, I don't know if you know this, but I believe it was my 30th birthday. Tim and I, well, did we actually help set up the ring? We did, didn't we? For the Lucha show at the Beaumont in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we saw, wait a minute, you know what? I think it's wrong. That was Noel Mascaras, but I think I've seen Rey Mysterio out here in California, Northern California.
That's what I was going to ask you about, was the Rey Mysterio and how they actually got, I guess you could call him a legend in Lucha Libre to play the monster. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, he's kind of frowned upon, kind of, and if I remember correctly, it's not his dad, it's his uncle.
Ah.
That's like Rey Mysterio Jr. And I think partly why they, because I mean, I don't remember where I've seen him, but he doesn't look like a guy who's making a lot of money. and I'm sure that they were hoping that people would see the name and would just think that it was
Rey Mysterio Jr.
Yeah. And kind of trick people, because there's another guy too that's like a cousin that also goes by Rey Mysterio.
Well, and that's like every Lucha Libre. There's Guerreros, there's Mysterios. I'm sure there's other like family members that do that.
My favorite thing that Japan Wrestling used to do is they used to they would have like, you know how like WCW did the Black Scorpion, mm-hmm. where it turned out to be, you know, that was kind of like, but Japan used to do this thing where, and they you'll see it in match listings every once in a while, where like say there's Onita, right? And there's a guy who looks like him, is like an imposter, and he's called Nice Onita, NISE, which I don't know if that means imposter, but so I guess that Lucha has a lot of nice Mysterio. And he's not in good shape. I mean, he's a big barrel chested kind of it's not good. But he's real slow too. He's not like a high flyer. He's a pretty big dude. I mean, did we see him? I think I saw him out here.
I don't think I saw him. I saw Mil Mascaras, his name.
That was sad.
That was kind of sad. We watched a bunch of Lucha guys in the Beaumont Club where the ceiling was like 5 feet high.
there was one of them that was pretty good. There was one match where guys were really working and stuff. But I've gone to like two Lucha shows out here at the San Mateo County Fair, and I've gone to see AAA at the HP Pavilion where the San Jose Sharks play. I've gone to that twice.
Nice.
And it's like, every Lucha show, like, there's, like, a couple things that you're like, that's pretty good. And there's a couple things that are like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. So, it's like, Lucha is a very mixed bag. But I don't really watch it. I used to watch AAA.
Well, I would probably go to a show where the wrestler would actually demask the other person's face.
Yeah.
I didn't care how people's face damage just.
That was really rough, though. I mean, I've got a pretty strong stomach, but, like, skin peeling and, like, fingernail cracking and stuff, it makes me kind of go, ooh.
Now, here's the thing. He was ripping it off with his bare hand, but he was doing pretty precise work.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really precise with it, too. He was, like, measuring.
I'm kind of like, ooh, I was grossed out. Then I was like, wait a minute. He's doing way too good of a job with his bare, fat hand.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They show his hand, right? And it was like
It was like a ham.
It was a ham, and then it was manicured.
So you had 20 pills to do it, so.
Well, and my ever since I was a little kid, I always go in the, and I think I've mentioned before, with all movies, like, I always think of the practical side. My whole thing is like, okay, so he's living in this abandoned town. What does he eat? Like, where does he get his food? I didn't see any refrigerators or freezers or hot plates.
He's raising an organic garden out back.
That would be kind of sweet, wouldn't it? Like, at the and really, like, he's just killing the faces because it makes really good compost. And it's like, it's really, and he kind of apologizes, like, look, I'm sorry, it's just, I got these tomatoes that I really want to get in the ground, and I've got this compost.
Maybe he's just really docile, and then people show up and he starts killing them. maybe he's got, like, a pet kitten somewhere, and he's like, has, like, a picture garden.
He's just like the most severe version of "Get off my lawn, you kid."
You really.
Man, if I knew Spanish, I'd say that in Spanish, and that would be amazingly funny.
Oh God, I was terrible with Spanish. I still am. I mean, I really. That's one of the things that my sister was really gifted at languages. You know, like, she did up to like French and Spanish 5 and 6, and I barely passed Spanish to graduate college. So, but yeah, I mean, the movie, it wasn't bad. I appreciate that it was 1 hour and 15. I thought Taylor Dane was okay. I liked that he called her a troll, because I was like, well, she does look like those fuzzy trolls at the end of a pencil. Like, when.
Where's my beef there? The friendly fat gentleman who was killed and had his face ripped off.
He tells him,
you got to take his mask off because then he has to retire. She gets him on a spiked metal pole. All she's got to do is take the damn mask off. It's supposed to hold true, but I don't think the rules hold true. But I didn't get to have that question answered. That didn't bother me.
Well, I think that she was just kind of scared. So she impaled him.
Yeah,
and then she's like, "I'm gonna take the mask off." And remember, he kind of growled, and then she's kind of like, "Okay, I've impaled, and that's enough. The mask, that's just icing on the cake." That's a really bad analogy.
Yes. Well, apparently it didn't do enough to him because he put the bar through her, and then he steals the van,
and he drives off to the country music song.
Yeah, that was the.
Did you guys notice the bumper?
I didn't see the
bumper sticker. What it said?
What did it say?
It said, "Keep it simple." which I think was the director kind of trying to be like I imagine, like, when he was finished and he wrote the script, he did the, like, when you wipe your hands and, like, when you're done with a good meal, he's like, yep, and I'm going to put that in there as a sign that I just make a simple slasher movie. That's all it is. It doesn't need to be nothing else.
He did.
You know, and that was his little brilliant nuance.
Well, he did put in on one of the graffiti in the town, Voorhees is on the wall. Like Jason.
Yeah, I saw that on IMDb. They said that too, and I'm like,
I went back and looked, and it's kind of there.
It didn't pain me to watch it, but I do kind of have this weird thing I do now. Sometimes when I start kind of checking out, I start doodling, I start drawing.
Yeah.
And I've realized lately, like, watching movies, I'm like, boy, I've got a lot of drawings right now.
It's like a good meter to check.
And that one, I guess that's the scale. Like, how good a movie was it? Well, I did 37 drawings, so not very good. So.
I don't think the one point, they had the obligatory line where they had to say that the troll girl was a contortionist, and then they had to make sure she got a spot where she could hide under the sink and pretty much flash her cooch.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, because it looked really uncomfortable. And I remember, this is so funny, because this is like a nice little tie-in. And by the way, I just saw my pet peeve for trick-or-treating is people not wearing costumes with bags walking around.
Oh, yeah, I did that, I think, maybe once in the 8th grade, and then I stopped.
Were you apologetic? Were you like, I'm sorry, I'm too old, but I like candy? that's what you should say. Instead of trick or treat, you should say, I know I'm too old to be doing this, but I love free candy.
I'm sorry.
I posted a nice little happy Halloween picture on the Gonza Guys Facebook page. So when you guys get a chance, check it out.
Okay.
But I was going through my Facebook feed, and I'm not during the show. I wasn't checking out of the show or anything. I just I was like, I'm posting this now because I just thought of it. But I'm scrolling through and I see all these damn baby pictures. And I was, and what I'm seeing are like a bunch of babies in wagons. And it just instantly kicked. Next year for Halloween, I'm just going to get a couple of dumb like baby dolls and put it in a wagon and walk around with them and just ask for candy.
I thought you said you were going to dress up like a baby and get in the wagon. That would be amazing.
There ain't
no glandular problem.
That's not going to be wagon.
Oh my God.
That's going to be a pickup truck. It's going to be the bed of a pickup truck.
What are those old truck beds that are turned into a trailer? My dad has one of those. No. You're a svelte dude. Don't say that. You could ride in my radio flyer wagon any day. I'll carry you around. You could fit in there.
But think about how genius that is. You just have a couple of like dolls.
You just take a little mini pumpkin up the door and like, I'm just collecting for the kids.
Yeah.
Give me
exactly.
Candy.
Yeah. So like, then you're going to get the great line. Remember that great line from Mr. Mom when the repair lady goes, you fed your baby chili? It's going to be, you're feeding your babies candy?
Yes. Man.
Yeah.
Give me something good.
They just can't have any of those yellow, what are the cows? What are those, brown cows?
No brown cows.
Yeah, the baby couldn't eat a brown cow. That wouldn't work.
Oh, drop it.
But a necklace of Smarties, maybe.
Ooh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I think the movie was. It was. I mean, the credits were really fun.
I liked. Tim was asking about the credits too.
I was gonna make sure that both could watch the credits because. There's stuff in the credits.
The fat guy.
Well, I'm talking about the opening credits. The closing credits had the rap in it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm not saying, I was thinking you were saying that was good. I was a little surprised.
You. You're like, part of my soul just died.
I'm like, you like that, huh? I was like, I found it interesting, but I don't know that I liked it.
No. What I found interesting about when it, because it was the big, what was the guy's name? Was it Jimbo? Or what
I think
is
Jimbo
name?
Was the stoner.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But what was the big guy called?
We call him Friendly Fat Guy.
Yeah, Friendly Fat Guy.
Well, I don't want to be rude because I'm kind of a fat guy. I feel very...
It's not a derogatory term. It's simply... He's the fat guy in that movie. There's only
I tell you what, though. He was my favorite guy in it. I liked him. He was at least brave.
Yeah, he was the most sympathetic character to me. I sympathize with him more than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, because the Shaggy ripoff from Scooby-Doo I did not care about. Yeah, I just forgot about it.
They dispose of him.
One of the greats.
You what?
I felt sympathy for the one girl who was kind of hanging around at the end until she didn't take the damn mask off. He specifically told you, take his mask off.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, I think Taylor Dane thought that she had killed him. I mean, she is like really like, you know, but that was enough. But I don't know. I mean,
when I'm in that situation, there's skin on the wall. I'm taking the mask off.
I think that I would have one of those things. And Tim, you and I would make fun of like a movie that it would be horrible. Because if I was in that situation that in real life and something like that, I would find something and I would probably spend 10 minutes beating the person to death, probably just to make sure. Which they'd be like, that was the worst movie I've ever seen. It was so violent. But like,
They never like when they like when people would fight Jason and stuff, they like knock him down and run away. It's like, cut that motherfucker up. He can't chase you if he's ahead.
You know what a brilliant like real real scenario was the week before in The Walking Dead. And I'm sorry, spoiler.
I haven't seen any of it. I don't plan on seeing any of it. Please, spoil away, sir.
Okay. Well, but there's a part when they're worried that the guy's in shock because then they think he's going to die. And when you die, you turn into a zombie. And they handcuffed him to the bed, even though he was in shock. And the girl looks at him like, how are you doing this? And he said, you know, he's like, just in case. You know, and like another like great example, like, I hate in movies when like when just stuff that it's nothing you would do in real life. But a great example is like what you would do, like the end of Platoon when Charlie Sheen wakes up and there's like all this smoke and fire. The first thing he does, he just picks up the closest gun to it, which is what you would do.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. So I think that you would just tear off the mask. You would think, oh, wait a minute, Jimbo, or not Jimbo, but, you know, Tubbs.
Yeah.
Because Fun told me to take off, Tubbs told me to take off the mask, you know.
I better do
no,
it.
I'm going to beat him.
I mean, she could continue to, like, beat him or punch him in the face or something. She doesn't have to just, like, massage his shoulders while she takes the mask off.
But what was funny is that as soon as she went for the mask, he, like, woke up. So
yeah, but she was in a spike. You give him a couple wobs with something else laying around.
They just ripped the mask off.
So was he supposed to be, like, super, like, scientist genetic?
Yeah, I explained earlier, like he, the president of Mexico was like, I like Lucha Libre. I'm going to make the best wrestler ever. And what they did is, and we find out through the tapes that the fat guy, like the sympathetic fat guy, like finds, as well as his wealth of knowledge of Lucha Libre and the ghost town that he was in.
And Spanish.
Yeah.
I think that's why I sympathize with him. He seemed very knowledgeable about wrestling. So what happened was, is that like there was these four or five really great Lucha Libre wrestlers that all of a sudden disappeared. And then you come to find out that they take all the body parts of that and put them together into this guy. And he was going to be like the best wrestler ever, and then he snapped and killed people. He sent him away to this town, and then you find out that he killed everybody in the town. And then they like lobotomized him like 11 or 12 times. And that's like what...
Can you imagine how weird, like if he killed like a whole town, can you imagine him like... little old ladies pushing shopping carts and he's giving them Hurricane Ranas. he's wrestling a whole town. I mean, like, dogs, cats, iguanas, everything.
That's a lot of rolls and jumps and flips.
Yeah. He could have been more spelt. He should have been so skinny because he'd be so exhausted. He's like, I gave 37 Hurricane Ranas within 15 minutes and I am so tired. And his ribs would have been all broken because he's like, I big splash like a whole elementary school, like every single kid.
And all I got is this goddamn victory garden to show for
it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that really would be his victory garden. And here is the other point, and I guess my notes are I'm in the dark sitting in my car, which is probably so creepy.
But talk to me slowly. Say something slow.
Oh no. As I'm trying to be loud, I'm like, hey, I'm not causing any trouble over here. Going to the grocery store and doing a phone into a podcast. I'm like, okay, sir, get out of the car. So weird. but what I was thinking when he was given the history of like the best wrestlers and everything, and I know the Olympics have a lot of weird sports, but I don't ever remember Lucha Libre being one of them. Like an in the Olympics.
No, the Mexican Olympics.
it's the Mex Olympics.
Yeah. But did you pick? I'm like, okay, I can understand an amateur wrestling, but I mean, I don't think that Lucha Libre is ever. I guess it could be. I mean,
a lot more of the Summer Olympics of Lucha Libre.
I would tell you what, I'd watch a lot more Olympics if there was some Lucha Libre in it, probably. But that would be like choreographed dancing. You would just have to like score it. Like you'd have judges who'd be like, oh, that was a very nice match, you know.
Not if the winner tears the other guy's face off.
You what? That sounded like yabba yabba moba.
No, if the winner of the Olympic match tore the other man's face off, winner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's funny. I just kind of think that would be kind of frowned on.
Well, you know what they would do? You would deduct points if it wasn't an even tail. If you didn't tear it off evenly enough, you lose it.
Yeah.
Your style points.
You got part of the cheek. So.
Oh, I remember one of the notes that I wrote that was really disturbing too. As I wrote, like with all the killing and everything, I'm like, still not the bloodiest Lucha Libre match I've ever seen.
Wasn't there one where this guy did like a stomp on this guy's stomach and he puked up blood?
Oh yeah, that's actually Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
That's Puerto Rico. Oh, that's Invader. Sorry. I've got the SR. I'm sorry. I'm like, no, actually, that was a different source of deviant behavior.
Do you have a Latigre mask in your pants right now?
Yeah, I I've never bought those masks because they just look so cheap and they just look like they would just give you a rash.
You should see the Facebook post later on, then, sir.
You're gonna enjoy the Facebook post.
Oh. Is it Halloween? or Halloween. Because it's Halloween. Because Damien and Halloween are like a great like lucha tag team.
This basically gets better and better.
No, it's not. Okay. There were so many different variations of it. I didn't bother on that, but I know what you're talking about.
So why did the sympathetic? We'll just call them Sweet Tugs. Why did Sweet Tugs have a lucha mask like conveniently in his back pocket?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It wasn't the worst movie I've seen. It wasn't the best. I mean, it was I don't know. It was like too dying.
I think it's worth seeing. It's a convergence of some of my favorite things. You know, horror movies.
Yeah.
Bad movies. And
Taylor Dane, the contortionist, and Taylor Dane.
Yeah,
and Taylor Dane for some reason.
Dude, you guys know who Taylor Dane is, right?
Yes, I do.
She has some songs, dude. I don't know if you guys have this, but when I wake up in the morning, like I instantly have a song in my head.
I have something else when I wake up in the morning.
Well. It's a song in your heart, a smile on your
I put a mask on that too.
But I had the Taylor Dane song Tell It to My Heart was stuck in my head. Like when I woke up and I think it was before the movie. So then I'm watching the movie and I go, oh my gosh, who does that look like? That looks like Taylor Dane. And then so I searched like Taylor Dane just to see how to spell their name, and I was like, ooh, that song's good too. That song's good. She had some hits, but and Hokie Tim and I wrote Tim in it. We're doing a little mini comic book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and which you're more than welcome to get in on too, because it doesn't really involve that much drawing and everything, but Tim, one of my cartoons it says Whatever Happened to Taylor Dane, for the guy's thought.
So. I'd be really interested in seeing that. Like, I follow some web comics. Like,
Stimson, get
back. Sorry, guys.
I follow some.
There's...
Oh, go ahead.
I didn't get that last part. A car just zoomed by.
Oh no, I've been following some online comics and
uh-huh.
That gets the point across where you don't. I mean, I'm not knocking you. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure you guys do a pretty good job drawing it, but. You don't have to be like, you know, Stan Lee to like do a webcomic or do a comic.
We're taking pictures though. We're just taking like pictures off the web. We're not actually drawing. The only thing I'm drawing is like I'm just lettering and drawing the thought bubble.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Just taking random weird pictures.
So it's like meme stuff, but like more in a comic fashion.
Ah. Is it kind of like that Red Meat? Did you guys ever read that comic?
Oh, yeah.
That's really good. I really thought that was funny. But what is that? Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey,
that song is really good. And you know what I like about it? Like, when she was singing, it was, like, really, like, powerful. You know what I mean? She wasn't like, you know how Madonna would kind of be like, but Taylor Dane was like, ah, you guys are like, you're off the show. Just go away. There's no calling. But I was like, and then it's like, all right, fine. I'll just go start my own thing. It'll be a Taylor Dane podcast.
It's
just be me talking about Taylor Dane over and over. But.
No, the comic thing though, we're aware of our artistic limitations. So,
cool.
Yeah. I've realized that my drawing hasn't gotten really that much better since like fourth grade. Like I was back in Kansas and I saw some of my old pictures. I drew a Doctor Who. If you had told me about a picture of Doctor Who today, it probably would look kind of like that too. It was pretty bad. But I mean, But it is. It's like Hal Holbrook said in that. Boy, I'm quoting a lot of movies. Hal Holbrook's in that Dirty Harry movie about a man's got the nose limitations. So,
yeah.
There you go. So yeah. I don't know. I like the idea of doing it. But so yeah, we'll send you some examples because I think it would be kind of fun. You could have like a Gonzo guy's like little comic book too.
Yeah, that'd be neat. I'm down for that. It's definitely not as scary as like the fact that they left this WrestleMania movie open for a sequel.
Yeah. Well, the drive off at the end, the WrestleManiac took the van and rode off into the sunset with a country song.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he was genetically, like we were talking about, I know that they put pieces in, but which wrestler could regenerate a gaping hole in his gut?
WrestleMania. You know?
Probably The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what's funny? I've, like, listened to some of the, like, our stuff, and, like, you know what comes up a lot is The Undertaker and Ziggy. Come up a lot.
Oh, like the cartoon Ziggy and Garp.
Yeah, you mentioned Ziggy, and because I listened to your guys' one today when I was checking graphic for the glove.
Oh man!
And
did we get a Ziggy reference in there?
You went. I just heard a beep.
Yeah, I don't know what that beep was, but
it wasn't. Yeah, maybe it was my dowels hitting my dial pad.
But no, we touch on Ziggy, Garfield, Undertaker.
Yeah, it's a good
thing. Taco Shacks.
So you know, I have to say though, like, and this is like, I listened to your guys' glove episode today driving, and it made them. I really want to see it now, and because I looked at the poster, and that poster is amazing for that movie.
Yeah, unfortunately, the movie's not.
But I like John Beck. I mean, he's kind of like a. But I could see where you were like irritated with. I could say you could be irritated and also kind of laughing at the narration and the cliches. But there's a movie called.
I hate the narration.
I think John Saxon plays a better bad guy than a good guy.
Yeah, yeah, he does have that just kind of villainous look. Because when Tim told me who. He said, John, I'm like, I don't remember. And he's like, he was in the Bruce Lee movie, and he was also in Mitchell, and I was like, oh, yeah, that guy, you know. But yeah, he is like a great 70s villain, but I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know if I would enjoy watching, but I'm thinking I'll give it a shot. Because he said it was only like, what, an hour and a half, so it's not like it's going to kill me.
It's like old episodes of Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Oh, you know what? My mom and dad loved that show.
So do my folks.
And and they also loved Dark Shadows, because... the TV show, because when my dad was stationed in Savannah, Georgia, they said that it came on during the day. It was like a regular soap opera.
Oh, wow.
Dark Shadows was. And they were like, oh, it was so unique for its time. It was so different than, like, you know, General Hospital and all that stuff. So, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. Did you guys find, like, there was a certain charm in the glove, though? I mean, like, that it was, like, okay, it's not the greatest thing, but it's different than, like, anything that's out now? The silence. Oh, hello, is this thing on? What's the one, two?
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, repeat that question, because that's something.
Yeah, I go high art, man.
You're saying, ask the question again about the glove, because something didn't land.
Oh, okay. So what I said about the glove was, it's like, even though it wasn't a good movie, when you watched it, did you enjoy and appreciate the fact that it was like nothing else that is around now?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Only because it was a movie wrapped around an accessory to riot gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought it was a wonderful point that you brought up where in that time where like something like simple like a weapon is like a total game changer. You know, like, I got my hands on this glove, and now I rule the streets kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which you couldn't do now, because it would be like, I mean...
You'd be shot dead.
You can't even get a nuclear warhead now and be like, I rule the streets. Like, oh, yeah, well, I have 7 nuclear warheads. I mean, there's always a one-upper, you know? So, yeah, I like the fact that... And the glove looks cool on the thing. And I mean, come on. A dude playing the flute in the hot tub? I'm in, man. That sounds pretty awesome. I saw the picture because when you type in John Saxon on Google Images, that image comes up of him talking to that dude and he's playing the flute. I was like, that's badass. That's really cool.
Oh, yes. That movie is a gem.
I'll have to work that into the trailer I'm working up for our Epidoses. So.
What? Work in what?
I'm going to build up little video trailers where I take some high spots out of each epidose and I throw in a little video or picture overlay.
Yeah.
And that'll be like, they'll be like, you know, anywhere from like 2 to 5 minutes out of our whole show where it's just kind of compiled with some images and things. It'll be like a teaser for you to go listen to the whole show.
Yeah, that's cool. And you know what was crazy? What part that I liked that when you guys played the audio of Rosie Grier beating the crud out of that dude? That sounded horrific. I mean, like if you just hear the audio, but you're like just the way the guy's screaming, it's like he's like guard, and it's like, oh my god, Rosie Grier's going to town on this guy, man. It's like, but I was like, it was kind of disturbing because I was like, oh my god. That sounds kind of real.
Trust me.
And there was some, and the Webster facts, I appreciated that too. And I love that you guys knew George, what was it, Papalopoulos? Is that what they, Mr. Papalopoulos?
Yeah, Alex Karras, Mr. Papadopoulos.
Papadopoulos. Man, dude, I kind of had to punch myself in the face because I know Blazing Saddles and I love Blazing Saddles. But unfortunately, when someone says Alex Karras, I think of the dad from Webster. I don't think of Mongo. I don't know why.
Well, the dad from Webster is a bigger, he had more exposure and actual speaking parts than Mongo from Blazing Saddles. So I can see how that.
I really like that. Out of like all sitcom dads, like, I mean, Bob Uecker and Mr. Belvedere is one of my favorites, but Alex Karras and Webster, I thought, was one of those characters that I really liked. He seems like so nice and gentle. But oh, I got to tell you guys this real quickly too. But so I had a Friday off a couple of weeks ago, and I was all excited because I was like, oh, I'm gonna stay up, you know, and watch some stuff. And then and Hub was playing Alf.
Nice.
And I couldn't get through an episode. That show was terrible. I don't know what was wrong with me, because I remember when I was in seventh grade, like Alf was huge, and people like Alf is, because I just remember there was this girl that I went to school with in seventh grade, and she just goes, oh yeah, Alf's on tonight, I'm gonna watch it, all right, and she was so excited. And then I was like, all right. I remember being pretty funny and kind of good for a time, and I watched it, and it was like, oh, the opening credits, when they're doing like the fake laughter and they're watching the video that Alf filmed and then he chases the cat, I just like, this is terrible. I'm really disappointed in myself.
I remember dragging my mom to Burger King because it had a kid's toy revolving around Alf. And it was it might have been paper. I don't know if it was plastic, but it was like a little record. So you would take this paper record and you would play it and it would be like a story. Like the one I got was like that poem, Casey at the Bat, but it's...
Oh, yeah.
It was Alf at the Bat, so...
But they played a different version of baseball on Alf's planet where they call it Booyah Ball.
Booyah Ball!
They threw fish and stuff, like fish guts and fishes. Oh, God, I've really got to get a lot.
This show is terrible. I'm going to watch every episode and become an expert on it.
This is my way of thinking. I go, I watched half episode, it was terrible. And then really, it's like, no, I quit my job and that's all I've been watching, really.
I'm the foremost Alf expert in the world.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm going to change my name legally to Melmac. Oh, God. Oh, man. Man, there is a weird guy in a white clown suit walking through the park over here now. This is disturbing. I should probably go buy groceries before I get killed out here on the...
my car window got busted in on Halloween last year, so and it's a full moon tonight, so strange things are going to happen.
Who got busted?
My car window on the side up front got busted in on Halloween last year.
They'll hear me talking about Alf and they'll bust out my car window with me in the car.
What? What's this? Alf, get over here!
Yeah. It was like, that's enough, sir. You're the cops still arrest me. Like, are you really sitting...
Like,
you what?
Like, that's a good horror movie, right? It's like Killing Freddy Krueger, that like the townspeople rose up. It's like the townspeople rose up and drove out Alf. So now, like, it's them that they, like, turned murderous.
There's a great movie called Permanent Midnight, which is a book by Jerry Stahl. He used to be a writer for ALF, and Ben Stiller is him in the movie. And Jerry Stahl was on heroin when he was writing for ALF. So some of the really weird episodes, it's like he doesn't really remember and stuff because he was so strung out. And when they show the scene in the movie too. He has this severe psychotic breakdown. And he hallucinates that ALF is banging on the door trying to get him. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like screaming and slamming on the door. So, if I can find the clip of that on YouTube, I will definitely post it. It's an ALF, like, trying to kill him. So.
Oh, man.
So I should probably boogie. I don't know what you guys, like, what, if, you know, hopefully next time I'll be able to actually sit. I have a desk now. I don't have a cat cage anymore to set my notes on. I built a little desk. Yeah. But, it's pretty sad when, like, as excited as I was, like, I went to Big Lots and bought a desk, and I just left it in the package and just stared at it because I'm so bad at putting that stuff together. And, you know, it's like, I'm not the brightest guy, but I'm not the dumbest guy, but I'm terrible at that stuff. And then it was just such a personal victory. It's so proud when I sit there at the desk. I put it together and it actually looks right. So I can maybe pod from there next time. So, I'm boring now. Sorry.
So you're going to the store, right?
Yeah, I'm going to buy some groceries.
Don't forget to get the lampshade and the rutabaga while you're there. So. Just these two things.
Yes, there. There's a sale on lampshade rutabaga. All right.
Nice.
Love for it. Anyways, well, all of you guys can wrap this up or do whatever you want. I like that you called it a this is really the correspondent kind of feel. I feel like I am on location and I'm out.
Well, I'm curious. Maybe in future episodes, if we figure out just like what happened with the South African scamster who turned out to be for real.
Yeah, those guys don't play around, man. That's all I'm going to say.
We'll delve into that later.
Yeah, you know, I'm still all just soaking it in and processing it. And the last email I received was, it's like they don't understand what I'm talking about. they only speak in bank accounts and credit card numbers. And I'm a slow learner. And Brewster's Million is fake. You can spend money really quickly. You don't have to buy a stamp at the end either. But, so hopefully, I guess the next, you know, maybe we can go into that or we can still talk about Taylor Dane.
I gotta admit, ever since Tim started playing that song, it's been in my head.
It gets right.
It's a good song, dude. Then there's another one, Love Can Leave You Bland. Something like that. It's good, man. I don't get to ramble enough during the day, but I had a friend in college who was obsessed with Jane Child.
Oh,
you guys remember who Jane Child
was?
She had
the weird hair and the chain going from her nose to her ear?
Yeah. And for some reason, and she had that song, I Don't Want to Fall in Love, which is a pretty good song.
Yeah,
but
she's odd duck.
He had her record. I mean, he had, like, full albums. And he's like, man, we were just talking about that song. But and I don't want you to think, like, this is some, like, weird guy, like, who would sing Time for Me to Fly after football game, Toki. yes. Referencing that. This is a guy who had really good, widespread musical taste. Like, he was a huge Beatles fan. I mean, and not just, like, he really delved in it, but Jane Child was like a favorite thing. And I was at an old antique shop that used to be next to the Bottleneck in Lawrence, and I found an 8x10 black and white glossy of Jane Child and bought it for him. And he's probably framed in his house, probably. Anyways, well, I'm going to let you guys go. You can wrap up. I'm going to go get groceries and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
What's left of it for you guys?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say next year we're getting the wagons and we're getting some candy.
I'm gonna be
Todd
a
Haley.
Tiger or Ted. I want to dress up in a bear suit.
I'm gonna be Todd Haley.
Did you guys dress up today, by the way?
No. I did Friday night, though. I did. You'll see you in the Gonzo Guys post.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I actually dressed up and went to work today, and I wore the mountain lion shirt, and then a zombie mask, and I covered myself in fake blood, and people were like, "What are you?" I'm like, "I'm the attacker who got mauled by a mountain lion." Like, and I had bandanas and stuff.
Nice.
Very good.
It's really hard to it's hard to pump gas when you're covered in fake blood.
What's the worst like as an intentionally worst costume you've ever dressed up as?
I did. My mom still makes fun of me about this. I dressed up when I was really little. I think we still lived in Oberlin. I was like maybe 4 or 5, and I dressed up like a clown, and I had like the rainbow work from work kind of suspenders.
Wow.
And they kept riding up, and I remember my parents still make fun of me to this day. They said when I would go up to the door to trick or treat that I kept, you know, picking my bottom. And they still laugh at it. They're like, there's John up there holding his bucket out, picking at his shorts. So that was bad. I was always disappointed because my parents would buy me the garbage bag with the mask. They would be like, I wanted to be Spider-Man, so they, like, my mom would, like I had a Spider-Man mask, but she would make, like, something elaborate, or she would come up with something. And I was like, I don't want that. I want the one that all the other kids had. This is like the plastic bag with the picture of Spider-Man on it. It didn't even look like Spider-Man's shirt. But they were always like, this is better. It's like when I wanted a skateboard, like my dad's like, we can make you one. I'm like, no, I don't want you to make me one. I want to have what the other kids have. But that's probably the clown one was probably. Oh, no, you know what? When I was living in Lawrence, I dressed as a brownie one time.
Nice.
And my girlfriend at the time made a brown skirt for me, and I had, like, the shirt and everything. And I remember I put on the skirt, and she was mad because she said, your butt looks better than mine does.
Tell it to my heart.
I'm so being Taylor Dane. You know what I want to do is I want to put on a Halloween costume, but just on a random day, like, when it's nowhere near Halloween, just come to work. I've come to work on like
April 7th.
Like March. Yeah, April 7th, I come to work dressed as Taylor Dane, and they're like, woo-hoo! And they're like, what the heck? What are you, like, what would you call that? Like pre trick or treating?
Misplaced or Halloween?
Misplaced. Let's make it happen. We'll get it on the book.
Yeah, the worst costume I, like intention, like, it's even today, I was like, I'm surprised I did it, but. One year I dressed up as the pilot from Flight United 73.
The what?
The pilot.
From United 73?
Yeah, one of the planes that ran into the World Trade Center building.
Wait, I'm having trouble hearing. He dressed up as a pilot from what?
From a plane that flew into the World Trade Center building.
Okay, I lost all of that. I hate that.
No, okay, so United 73, right?
Oh, God! Oh, God, you're evil! Oh, my Lord!
I went to the party store, and I got a captain's hat, and then I found an old white t-shirt, or an old white button-down, and I tore it up and put little, like, red blood droppings on it. I'm like, woo! Let's go.
You know what? On a serious note, I always think of how wrong it is that those guys didn't get any sort of, like,
play.
You know, people don't remember the Pentagon or that flight or anything. They always, it's always about the Twin Towers. I've never understood, like those people were really. Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I own it, and I got it like for $1, and I still haven't watched it because I know that it's going to be like. A real tough movie to watch. It's going to be like, woo, like, I need a nap. I need a juice box for a nap. I'm so sad. Tim, what is your worst one, Tim?
Worst costume. Looking back on it, it was a bad choice. When I worked at Moffin Tour, I guess I shouldn't have said that, but anyway.
So, they're out of business, dude.
Yeah, they're in the tank. So, I'm running around, and I forgot I was out the night before, had a Halloween party, so I was kind of tanked. I was hungover, and so I was at work, and I forgot it was Halloween that day, and so I got a piece of paper, and I wrote, "I'm a psychopath. I look just like everybody else," and I stapled it to my shirt.
Oh. Well, you know, and in that theme, I had a girl at work say, because they were given free lunch if you had a costume in the cafeteria, and she had a checkered hat on, and I thought that she was like Sherlock Holmes. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute, you know, and she was going, and she goes, oh, I'm going to go get free lunch. I'm like, oh, you're going to tell me you're Sherlock Holmes? She goes, no, I'm going to tell him I'm a serial killer. I was like, whoa.
I should add,
but yeah, but this girl is like so positive and funny. It was so weird to hear her say that. I'm like, oh, maybe she's not so sweet.
Well, there was one other one that somebody else wore, and there was a person, and she was a woman, and she was dressed in normal clothes, but then she had a name tag, and she had one eye that was black, and her name tag said Susan. And she
black-eyed
said
Susan.
Okay, you see, you got it right. And she said, can you guess what I am? And I'm looking at her. She's got a black eye. She's got a name tag. I said, are you a battered wife?
Oh.
And I thought the name tag was because she was at a support group.
Oh. See, that's high art. See, that's like what I do sometimes is like you take something simple that someone just goes, that's a good song, and then I build like a whole case around it.
In a week,
I'll have a whole case. That's what you did. You're like, but your explanation is actually more detailed and in some ways kind of.
But I was like, she looked real. I got a really odd look on that first guess.
Okay. See, I wonder why.
I'm like, I don't know if that's an appropriate costume.
Oh, man. That's like, you want to talk high art. One year, I was so broke, and I was like, I need to do a costume for costume party. So I went to Target looking for scraps, and I picked up, like, this cardboard, like, costume front that was left. So then what I did is I printed out a picture of myself, and I put it on it, and then I hung it around my neck, and then I stuck a coat hanger in my back, so I was wearing it on my back, and I went as a Halloween costume for Halloween.
That's like a surrealist costume.
It was cool because I was asking all the ladies if they wanted to wear me that night.
Oh. And that was the Halloween night that you spent in jail.
Exactly.
And that's what happened.
And that's it. And that's where I met my first, no, my first love. Man, that's awesome. That's a really good idea. All right. Well, it's starting to rain here. My window's open, and I'm starting to feel weird. So I'm really gonna go this time. And okay. 2 hours later.
All right.
All right, dudes. Happy Halloween. I'll talk to you lads soon.
Talk to you later, John.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye bye.
Bye. Well, how about that?
Trying to be good.
Look at that.
Man, I forgot about... I should have... Man. Well, hopefully that doesn't come to bite me in the ass for being that pilot. It was kind of crude. I guess I go for the shock value.
That's a great reaction, though.
So that was John the correspondent, man. Out in the field, getting rained on, seeing clowns out in the park.
Still watching the movies. So.
That's right. And... If he had to make it a point to call it about WrestleManiac, I think everybody out there should at least go see it once.
I think so.
I mean, if anything, you could probably fast forward up until the one boob scene, because that's a horror movie, and then fast forward a little bit more until he really starts killing people, and then it gets to be okay.
Yeah, it'll get you. You can probably watch that in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. He was right. I pulled that up. When I first pulled that up and it said 1:15, I'm like, did I get all the movie?
Yes, you got all the movie.
Well, I like that. Yeah. I guess I do like it. Keep it simple.
Yep, keep it simple, keep it short. If you're going to make a piece of crap, at least be merciful on the time.
Yeah, so do not fast forward. Well, I just said fast forward. So forget what I just said and do not fast forward this. Booyaka, booyaka.
Don't fast forward.
Wait, is he saying booyah ball, booyah ball?
He might be saying it. Let's see.
Maybe Rey Mysterio is from Melmac.
Rey Mysterio from Melmac.
There we go.
There you go.
So it's between right. that and Hurricane Rana on Grandma for the show title.
Hurricane Rana on Melmac.
Oh, man. Well, I think that'll about do it. Oh, what are we going to go out with that song, or should we pick the Taylor Dane song?
I think, oh boy, let me think.
Oh, what kind of earworm we want to leave people with?
Well, that Taylor Dane song's really catchy, though.
All right, I'll do that one. But
Taylor Dane, Tell It to My Heart. Let's just get a little, you know, little fix of it real quick here. Yeah,
Tell It to My Fart.
Oh, where is that? Man, hopefully they aren't going to make me watch it.
The Halloween party. I think the Halloween party I was at, they closed the door and they had the smoke machine going on, so the whole garage was filled up, and we listened to the greatest hits of Ice Cube.
Okay, there we go. All right. Feel the sin.
My heart pulling up my face. Having a Halloween.
All right.
Woo. That was delicious. So that's about wraps it up. I don't know when we're gonna be back, but we'll be back soon. I guess until next time, folks. Don't fast forward on Halloween.
And try to keep your face on. Later.